Good morning and welcome to Perspective with me, Sue Clark. Does wrapping yourself in the Australian flag make you a good citizen? And when did we all get to be citizens anyway? Today, Alison Holland, lecturer in the Department of History at Macquarie University in Sydney, on citizenship.
The federal government is presently sponsoring two media campaigns which reflect historic concerns with citizenship. In one, it encourages individuals to take up Australian citizenship, declaring there has never been a better time to do so. And in the other, it encourages citizens to report anything unusual or suspicious to a national security hotline to help protect Australia from terrorism. Both speak to a history of citizenship as a strategy of national defence. The first example reflects a long-term pragmatism evident in national approaches to citizenship, which sees it as a means of shoring up the body count. The second example demonstrates how the citizen is constructed against an other, which is potentially dangerous, suspicious and unusual, or outside the norm. In encouraging citizen-led policing, it reveals how citizenship is not a guarantee of rights. Such activity delineates between citizens, defining some as potentially suspicious and others as presumably above suspicion. This binary speaks to the same historic tradition. For most of the 20th century, citizenship was an understated feature of national life. This was because our crimson thread of kinship to empire defined us as a community of Anglo-Saxons. Our British subjecthood was thought to fortify us from enemies within and without, and our exclusivity, enshrined in legislative enactment, provided the bulwark against its dilution. Nationhood in 1901 was therefore a painless birth when it came to citizenship. It was not defined in the Constitution, nor was there any explicit protection of human rights, as was notable in other so-called settler colonies of the British Empire. It was not until after the Second World War that the legal category of Australian citizen came into being, again without fanfare. Indeed, on the 26th of January 1949, the majority of the Australian population were officially designated Australian citizens for the first time, without knowledge of the fact. British subjecthood was retained simultaneously until 1984, and the civil and political rights associated with being a natural-born British subject were simply rolled over when citizen status was bestowed with the passing of the Nationality and Citizenship Act in 1948. This act was the product of a post-war society in urgent need of development. The prime call was populate or perish. The Nationality and Citizenship Act was designed to facilitate the entry of non-British migrants, mostly refugees from war-torn Europe, who, under the terms of the legislation, were expected to assimilate to the Australian way of life. For many years, it gave preferential treatment to British subjects, defining all others as aliens, a term which stuck until 1975, when it was replaced by the race-neutral phrase, permanent resident. It is to the 950,000 or so permanent residents that the contemporary government's advertising campaign for citizenship is targeted. As for anti-terrorist ads, these find resonance with emergency procedures enacted in other times of national security alert. It is for this reason that the First World War was a galvanising moment in citizenship policy. It was during that war that the Australian government demonstrated a willingness to forgo certain citizen rights by ushering in special defence legislation. Furthermore, the war led to the demonisation of foreigners as potentially subversive and disloyal. Non-British Europeans were now thought of as potentially dangerous, as illustrated by the internment of enemy aliens and the dispersal and assimilation of alien communities throughout Australia during and after the war. The First World War set a precedent. Once established, procedures, laws and practices could be and were replicated in times of national emergency or apparent threat. Recent historical investigation has drawn connections, for example, between the contemporary practice of mandatory detention of asylum seekers with the processes of detention and confinement developed during the war. The current War on Terror is further illustration of this. Recent border control and anti-terror legislation are clearly part of this continuum. In particular, the latter gives ASIO and the Australian Federal Police wide-ranging powers of surveillance, detention and interrogation, including of children, against a backdrop of Islamic marginalisation and a rise in anti-Arab, anti-Muslim sentiment. Nationhood defines citizenship implicitly as a category of racial inclusion and, by inference, exclusion. Despite the removal of race in the formulation and articulation of civic policy post-World War II, in which the 1948 citizenship legislation might be seen as a precursor, it clearly lingers on. Perhaps this is why, despite legislation in its name, and despite the federal government's more recent rhetoric that citizenship is the common bond at the heart of a unified and inclusive Australia, it remains ill-defined and elusive.
Alison Holland with today's perspective. And don't forget, if you'd like to download or podcast this piece, you can. Just go to our website, abc.net.au/rn, and follow the prompts to audio download. On ABC Radio National, it's 5 o'clock, news time.